Let's bow our heads now in preparation for God's Word. Lord, as we had partaken of the physical bread in remembrance of what you, Lord Jesus, the living Word, had done for us, we thank you now for the privilege to sit at your feet and to hear the written word, your word, preached to us. Heavenly Father, I ask that you might grant us both understanding and humility to allow your word to truly minister to us, to convict us where we need to be convicted, and to encourage us where we need your precious encouragement. And I pray, Father, that we will take this message to heart, that you, Lord Holy Spirit, will bring it to our remembrance throughout this year, this being our New Year's message. And so I pray, Lord, for everyone who is here, who is seated before you, everyone who might be watching, Lord God, and listening, that right now, Lord, you would move upon our hearts, that we might receive your word with gladness. Use thy imperfect servant, Lord, and go beyond his weaknesses so that you alone might be glorified today and magnified today before your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I had mentioned, this is a continuation of our New Year's message, which we started last Sunday. So if you weren't here last Sunday, I'd like to encourage you to please go back to the recorded preaching. You can find this either in our Facebook page or on our website, on our church website. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of these messages, because these are messages that God is giving to us for very special occasions. And the occasion that for this message is really the entering into a new year. And I believe with all my heart that messages like this are messages that we need to very intentionally, very deliberately take to heart and carry with us throughout the year. Because there is a reason. There is a reason for why God gave us this particular message, this particular study on a passage in Scripture. Meron pong dahilan yan kung bakit ito po binigay sa atin ng Panginoon for our New Year's message. And here you will see that I've entitled this message, The Relevance of Thanking and Praising the Lord. Nawala po yung end. The Relevance of Thanking and Praising the Lord in the New Year. And this is a study on Psalm 92. And I pray that as we enter the new year, regardless of the fact of the great uncertainty that faces us, that confronts us, and the great turmoil that is happening in many quarters in the world today, I pray that we would enter the new year with a hopeful perspective. Not hopeful about the situation in the world. I'd like to say, stop dreaming that things, dreaming of a better situation coming upon this world. It's not going to happen. The better situation will happen after Jesus comes back, vanquishes his foe, and establishes his rule here on earth. In the meantime, we are hurtling towards the latter part, the latter part of the last days, when we are, as a church, truly anticipating the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you truly understand prophetic scripture, there we could glean that the times we are in will only go from bad to worse. And I'm not saying that to discourage you. In fact, I am saying that to encourage you to continue to prepare. That's why the last three anniversary messages had to do with preparation and readiness for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the worst time to be cold, to be lukewarm, to be passive in our Christianity, in our relationship with the Lord. And so here, I pray that the Lord will use our New Year's message to help accomplish this. That we are not to be hopeful about the situation in the world, but to be hopeful about who we are, what we have, and what awaits us as God's children. Nandun po ang ating pag-aasa kay Kristo at sa kanyang ginawa sa atin. Our hope is in Christ and what He had done for us. And so we are studying Psalm 92, verses 1 to 15. Let's read verses 1 to 4 because this is what we had looked at last Sunday. And through this psalm and the way that this is divided in the ESV, though I'm using the NAS Bible translation, tells us the attitude that we must have as we enter into a new year. It is an attitude that recognizes how appropriate it is to thank and praise the Lord. Let's just read verses 1 to 4 quickly. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. With a 10-stringed lute and with a harp, with resounding music upon the lyre, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the work of your hands. And basically, what we had seen here, brethren, is how important it is for us to know that regardless of what we might face, our attitude through whatever circumstances we might find ourselves in should be an attitude of continuing thanking of the Lord, continuing praising of God. May practice na po tayo. Honestly, all of us already are being trained by the Lord to do this through the different testings and trials and troubles that each one of us has experienced in the past. No? Parang alam na po natin ito eh. During those times when we are tested, we had to fight for a grateful heart. We had to fight for a worshipful and hopeful heart. And those times are a practice for us for even darker times. And as I had mentioned in this section last Sunday, there is always something to thank God for, no matter how dark the situation that you find yourself in. Always, always. And if that means the only thing you can thank God for at that very moment is the fact that you have eternal life because you have been saved and you are a child of God, then by all means, get into the praising and the worship and the thanking of God for your salvation. The enemy might touch your life, your career, your family, your job, your provisions. He might touch your health. He might touch your freedom. But he can never touch what you have, who you are in Christ, and what awaits you in Christ. Amen po ba? Amen po ba? Amen. Cannot touch that. And for that, and even just that alone, we can thank and must thank God. Amen po ba? So that's what we had seen last Sunday. And let's see what else this psalm has for us in terms of the attitude that we must embrace as we enter into the new year. And in verses 5 to 9, we see how appropriate to acknowledge His works. How appropriate to acknowledge His works. Now, we had seen last Sunday that when we thank God and praise God, we thank God, as we will see throughout the psalm, for His works. But at the same time, we thank God simply for Him. When we extol His name, it speaks of extolling His character, who is. He is. So wag natin kakalimutan yan, because many times, as I had mentioned last Sunday, we find ourselves thanking God for the blessings He gives, for what He does in our lives every day. Yes, we even thank God for His salvation in Christ, what He had done for us in Christ. But we must never forget to just simply thank God for God. Simply thank Him for Him. Amen po ba? Thank Him that we know Him. Our greatest blessing, our greatest gift from Him is Him. Is Him. That is our greatest blessing. So let's not forget to thank Him for Him. Amen po ba? Throughout this year. But this psalm really is about thanking and acknowledging God for what He has done. And this is what David, who wrote this psalm, is doing in verses 5 to 9. So please read now verses 5 to 9. How great are Your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. That then the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forever. But You, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold Your enemies, O Lord, for behold Your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. In these verses, David now expands on his reason for giving thanks and singing praise to God. In the first four verses of the chapter, he was giving the reason on more general terms, but now he begins to be a little more specific with regard to his reason for giving thanks and praising God. And here in verse 5, David extols two things. He extols two things. First, the vastness, the importance, the prominence, the magnificence of God's works. Look at the first part of verse 5. How great are Your works, O Lord! How great are Your works, O Lord! In remembering the works of God, we can do two things. We can go back to the Bible and look at His great works, His miraculous works in Scripture. You can look at His mighty miracles in the Old Testament. You can look at the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed in the New Testament. And there be reminded of the vastness, the importance, the prominence, and the magnificence of the works of God. Or, actually, and or, you now can also go back to the things that God had done in your life. You can do that even on a daily basis. At the end of the day, you can thank Him. You can thank Him for all that He has done for you, no matter how small, no matter how trivial. Lord, I thought mawawalan na kami ng parking kanina in that place where I wanted to bring my family, but lo and behold, Lord, there was just one more parking and it was for us. Thank You. And you know why that is magnificent? You know why that is magnificent? Because of the triviality of the blessing. The triviality of the blessing magnifies the greatness of our God. Our God who is the God of details. A God who is the God who is in the details. A God who is the Most High, and yet in His grace had found a parking spot for you. Amen? That is what makes those small, everyday blessings magnificent. It's not because of the blessing as much as the one from whom the blessing comes. Amen po ba? And that's why whether God does something wonderful in your life and truly great, like healing you from a terminal illness, or simply just waking you up and giving you sufficient strength to get up in the morning, all His works, as far as I'm concerned, are magnificent. Because what is man? Who are we that God is even mindful of us? Amen? Kaya pag tinignan po natin po yan, lahat ng pagpapala ng Diyos, malit man o malaki, is truly magnificent because it comes from His hand. Amen? The second thing He extols is the depth of the plans or intentions of God that arise from the infinitely wise thoughts of God. And you will see this in the second part of verse 5. Your thoughts are very deep. And really, when you look at the plans and intentions of God in Scripture and in what is happening now, in relation to His sovereignty, in relation to His providential moving throughout history, in redemption to His plan of salvation, you would have to say that the thoughts of God are deep. Many times, Lord, I don't understand what You allow in my life. But there are also many times when later on You make me see it. And I find myself saying, ah, kaya pala, Lord. No wonder, Lord, I was one of those who were laid off in that job. No wonder, Lord God. Because now I have a better job. A job in which I'm happier. Lord, no wonder, Father God. Nabasted po ako. Dun sa taong pinagpe-pray ko. Because, Lord, he or she was not the one for me. Now, I am with someone waiting now in the aisle for her to walk down. And she's the one for me. Madami pong ganyan. Di ko na ako tatanungin kayo mga men, ilan sa inyo nakaranas ng mabasted? At dahil kayo nabasted, masakit. Amen? But then later on, you begin to see, kaya pala ako nabasted. Lord, ang galing nyo talaga. Because You gave me the one who is perfect for me. The perfect, imperfect one for me. Amen? And here you will see the depth of the plans or the intentions of God simply arise from the infinitely wise thoughts of God. And then in verse 6, finite man's knowledge and understanding, his wisdom as a whole, is now held in contrast with God's wisdom. If you look at verse 6, there it reads, a senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. Look at the great contrast. Earlier in the second part of verse 5, there we are told that God's thoughts are very deep, and then suddenly, Right at its heels, we are told that man is senseless. Man has no knowledge. Man is stupid, too stupid to understand this. You see, the word senseless means foolish, brutish, parang hayop. The word stupid really, in the Hebrew, really means that, stupid, dull, mapurol. And worse, arrogant. The Hebrew word also means arrogant. One of the worst people in the world are those who know nothing and yet are arrogant in their ignorance. Amen? They are among the most frustrating and exasperating people to deal with. Mali na nga, mayabang pa. Have you ever encountered people like that? Huh? Amen? Please don't look at the person beside you right now. Happy New Year. But have you ever encountered people like that? It's so difficult. It's so difficult. And basically what we are told here in verse 6 is that sinful man is unable to grasp God's great works, unable to grasp God's deep wisdom because he is foolish. He is dull. He is arrogant before God and toward the things of God. He is dull and foolish because he is a sinner. He is a sinner who's filled with pride. Every sinner is a proud person. Every sinner. Every sinner who thinks he can sin and get away with it is a proud person. Every sinner who does not see his need for salvation in Christ is a proud person. Every sinner who thinks that all he needs to do is just do good and he will end up in heaven is a proud person. And someone who is proud will not be able to grasp God's great works and his deep thoughts. No wonder many unbelievers just don't get the cross. Many unbelievers don't get the great sacrifice of Jesus for our sins on the cross. They question God. They question the sovereignty of God in salvation because they don't get the deep thoughts of God when it comes to divine election, when it comes to the greatness, the immeasurability of his holiness. They just don't get it. And they think that I deserve to go to heaven because I did not hurt anyone. Or I'm good enough. They just don't get it. And that's why they are unable to grasp this. And here in this psalm, this dullness, this foolishness, this stupidity actually prevents him from grasping the truth of verse 7. Please change that for to from. Forgive me. This prevents him from grasping the truth of verse 7. And I would like us now to read verse 7. That when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourish, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. Okay, it's better to read that from verse 6. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. What is this? Verse 7. That when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourish, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. Wow. As far as I'm concerned, brethren, this statement is a staggering and very sobering truth. Sa totoo lang po. It is a statement. Now listen to this. It is a statement, and that's why please mark verse 7 in your Bibles. Because this is a statement that answers questions like, hey, if God is good and holy, why does he allow the wicked to prosper? It answers questions like, why does he allow the wicked to multiply greatly and quickly in number like the grass and to even shine to be seen and to be prominent? That is the word flourished here. As you will see later on, the word flourished here can have two meanings. But in this part of the psalm, the word flourished simply means to be seen, to be conspicuous, to shine. And really, when you look at wickedness right now, talagang lantaran eh. The wicked now are very prominent. The agenda of the wicked and wicked movements are very prominent. They're dominating social media. They're dominating political political laws, for example, political groups. They are dominating the governance of nations. Lantaran po. That is what the word flourished here. And so this statement answers questions like that. Why did God allow the wicked to prosper when he is truly holy? And they're not just prospering, they're multiplying. But here in verse 7, brethren, this verse speaks really of a sure and a soon coming judgment. I cannot overemphasize this. It speaks of a sure and a soon coming judgment upon wickedness and the wicked who think they can get away with their wickedness, but who are in truth, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 7, and I want you to read this, in truth merely storing up wrath for themselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Basically, this is what verse 7 is. Look at that. That when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all that did iniquity flourish, it was only that they might be destroyed forever. They think that they will survive. How many politicians, how many political families, how many political dynasties are now busy trying to secure their political dynasties in the coming administrations, thinking that they will be around for forever or even for long, thinking that just because they have wealth and power, they can have the best doctors, and they're not even truly afraid. Not like we ordinary citizens, sometimes we are afraid of serious sicknesses, because more than the sickness, often, if we're going to be honest, we are afraid of the cost and the expense, right? And yet, that is the wicked. In truth, they are just storing up wrath for themselves. Sige, tuloy mo yung ginagawa mo. Pag hindi ka natakot sa Diyos, iniipon mo ang puot ng Diyos na ibubuhos niya sa iyo. Please don't think that those who are less wicked or those who are more wicked will get just the same punishment in hell. I believe that in the justice of God, there will be levels of punishment in hell according to your wickedness and your unbelief. And here you will see that the wicked are likened to grass. And that imagery simply is a reference to their temporariness. Temporariness. There are just so many scriptures that speak of God one day removing all wickedness. One day, dealing with all peoples who are wicked and unrighteous and removing them forever from his presence. Their wickedness is but temporary. And when you look at verse 7, it is really more profound than we actually see it, though we can already understand this right now, because I believe that here we once more see the sovereignty of God in operation. We once more see the sovereignty of God in operation, in everything. Even in the evil things that God allows, God is fulfilling his sovereign will, which he had ordained from eternity past and which will end in his ultimate glorification. So even if something unexpected happens in our lives, it is only unexpected to us. If something happens in our lives that take us by surprise, it is only us who are surprised, but not our God. There is nothing that happens in the whole universe that is outside his sovereign wisdom, his sovereign power, and his sovereign purposes. Nothing. And you know this, I've mentioned this a million times in the past, There can be no rogue atom doing its own thing outside of the sovereign will of God. Otherwise, that atom would be God as well. Wala po. And all of this will lead to the ultimate glorification of God. And as I was finishing this last night and going through this preaching, somehow in my second review of the preaching, I was reminded of Ephesians chapter 3. And so I turned to that and I ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verses 8 to 11. For me, this is one of those great and glorious passages in the Bible. And here Paul says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given. What grace? To preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Later in the book of Colossians, we are told what that mystery is, that Christ in us, God indwelling his people through the salvation that we receive from Christ's sacrifice. In verse 10, here we see the reason for that, for the gospel, the reason for God's saving work, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. I don't know with you, but verse 10 is such a glorious verse. You know what? All of this, our salvation, wickedness that's happening in the world, and the way God will deal with wickedness is so that one day in heaven, through us, the manifold wisdom of God would be magnified, so that the heavenly hosts themselves, when they see the church complete, secure, and secured, will just say, wow, you are truly wise in your sovereignty. And one thing I love about this verse, in verse 10, brethren, is this. Because through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be seen. You know, it's as if we would be held by God as his trophy to exalt his wisdom to all the heavenly host. We, the church. That's unbelievable. And so, eternally ironic as far as I'm concerned, because we were supposed to go to hell because we rebelled against God. And here in this verse, we are told that one day we will be held up by God as those whom he redeemed, as if we were his trophy to manifest his wisdom. Wow. And that often is what some Christians would trade their life for. Papalit, ipagpapalit po nila yon para sa mundo. How tragic. And that's why when we think of this, brethren, this must bring us much hope. This must bring us much strength in the middle of the darkest of times. By knowing that our God and Father will triumph in eternal glory in the end. And if I might add to that statement, and that we will share in that glory. We will actually share in that glory. Do not build the foundation of your lives on earthly things. Yes, we are called by God to be good stewards. Yes, every now and then God allows material earthly blessing to come upon us. But that these are not designed for us to build or to find our roots on earthly things. These are simply evidences of God's grace every day in our lives. Our true treasure is not on this earth. Our true treasure is in heaven and in heavenly things. Kaya nga, mga kapatid, no? When we read the history of the martyrs, they lost everything. Many times they lost loved ones, many times they lost their possessions, and many times they even lost their lives. And yet they were willing to persevere to the end because they understood what awaited them. Do you understand this? Do you see this? Are you preparing your heart for this? There is nothing in the whole of creation that is worth trading what we have in Christ with God. Nothing. Amen po ba? Amen po ba? And then in verses 8 to 9, David contrasts God's eternality to man's finiteness. So dito, pinakita po niya ang layo po ng pagiging eternal ng Diyos at pagiging finite ng tao. And when you look at these two verses, here you will see that he starts with the word but in verse 8, therefore connecting sinful man's destruction that we had seen in verse 7 and continuing that thought of destruction in verse 9 as against God's eternal supremacy in verse 8. I want you to see this connection, and that is why I had flashed this as well on the screen. Look at verse 8, but you, after verse 7, when we are told that the wicked would be destroyed forevermore, here he says, but you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. Wow, look at that connection. And look at the connection between verse 7 and verse 9. Both talk about the destruction of the wicked. And tucked in between is the eternality of God. You are on high forever. Praise God. And notice also, brethren, okay? Can you just take a look at that? You don't really need to take that down. I just wanted you to read it to understand the connection. But I would like you to see now, okay na po ba? Huh? I would like you now to see that in verse 9, here you will notice the parallelism between your enemies and the phrase, all who do iniquity. Look at verse 9. For behold your enemies, O Lord. And that is repeated two times. At the same time there, we are told your enemies will perish. In the last part of verse 9, all who do iniquity will be scattered. The parallelism between your enemies and all who do iniquity indicate to us that God's enemies are all who do iniquity. God's enemies are sinners. That's why we better think first before we espouse that very common understanding, which is wrong, that God hates the sin but loves the sinner. You won't even find that in the Bible. We thought that was so true in the past. But the more we look at the holiness of God, that is absolutely not true. God is angry with the sinner. God hates wickedness and the wicked. But he loved those whom he had chosen from before the foundation of the world. Dito po na mo problema ang marami po mga Kristiyano. Because they say, for God so loved the world, even sinners, But when you understand the doctrine of divine election, we are taught that God loved beforehand those whom He will save, those whom He will save from their sins, even though they were sinners. He's not going to save everybody. At dyan madaming namo problema. So why will He say that God loved the world? Now I know I'm going to be simplistic about this, but what the Lord opened, how the Lord opened my eyes to the truth of what the world here means was through one of the writings of John Calvin himself, where he mentioned that the world here does not mean each and every individual. The world here means all peoples from all nations, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. So it does not refer to each and every person. But now he includes other nations and tribes as well. Peoples from other nations and tribes as well. In the New King James, all who do iniquity is translated workers of iniquity. If you're using ESV and NIV, it is translated evildoers. Brethren, all men are sinners and are therefore evildoers in God's eyes. Even we, before we came to Christ, were seen as evildoers. And hence, they will perish. They will perish. Look at that phrase in verse 9, will be scattered. And that's simply an expression that means will be defeated, will be vanquished. They think they're winning now? No. They will be vanquished. And notice there is a repetition in this one verse. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies, O Lord. It is almost like a prayer. Lord, look at your enemies. Look at the wicked who are prospering right now. Look at the way, Lord, that they are dishonoring you, that they are blaspheming you, that they are ignoring you, that they are spitting in your face. Behold, Lord, that you will destroy them. This is a pretty scary verse. You know what? This is a verse that is worth remembering when things grow even darker. It's amazing because John MacArthur, through the elders in Grace Community, will be holding the Shepherd's Conference this coming March. I wish I could have attended that. But the theme is shepherding the remnant. And that's amazing. You know, I was thinking, oh, the focus now is on taking care of the church. Taking care of the church. Yan ang magiging focus po nila dun. Kasi remnanting na po tayo. We are now in that age of the church where the issue now is remnanting. As God is weeding out those in the church who are not His, but they just became part of the local church but are not truly His. Wow. Hence they will perish. But you know what? It is only the sinners who have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. By grace through faith and repentance, who receive God's eternal forgiveness of their sins, who become the children of God, and who will inherit eternal life in heaven with Him. It is only those who are sinners who have come to saving faith in Jesus by grace through faith and repentance. Everybody else will be scattered, will perish. And that's why one of the things that we can thank God for is our salvation. And if there's anyone here, anyone listening, to whom this statement is not yet that clear to you, I beg you, I plead with you. Look for someone who can explain this to you. Come to any of us pastors or elders here in this church who can explain this further to you. And this is not the time to be shy or embarrassed to admit that you don't really understand this. Huwag na kayo pangunahan ng hiya kasi baka dalhin ninyo yung hiya ninyo na yan sa impyerno. And for eternity, pagsisisihan mo yung hiya mo. Come and seek understanding because the wicked will perish. The wicked will be judged by God. Which brings us now to the next part, verses 10 to 11. How appropriate to remember his deeds in your life. Well, one of the things now that we need, one of the attitudes now that we need as we enter into 2023. Read now verses 10 to 11. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. Here, David personalizes what God had done for him. He goes from what God had done to what God had done for him. Praise God. Notice the pronouns my, I, me. They dominate those two verses. My appears four times, in fact. The Lord has exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. The word horn symbolizes an animal's or a human strength and majesty. The horn symbolizes strength. And this is very interesting when applied to animals. You see, the lifting up of the horn apparently described a stubborn animal who kept itself from entering into the yoke. Like, for example, oxen, which sometimes have long horns. When they would try to avoid the yoke, ayaw nila ipalagay, so they would lift up their horns high. So it would make the farmer, give the farmer a more difficult time in putting that yoke. It was really a sign of stubbornness. But here, that horn symbolizes strength, strength that the animal uses in rebellion against his master. But here, brethren, here we see that it was not David who lifted his horn, but God who lifted his horn. Look at the first part of verse 10. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. And basically, David here was saying that it was God who gave him strength to be victorious over his enemies. It was God, Lord, you had given me strength. I cannot boast of my strength because the strength that you've given me, the wisdom that you've given me that gave me victory comes from you. We must never forget that. Our successes, our abilities, our talents are but gifts of God to us. We need to be careful to pat ourselves on the back whenever God allows you to be promoted, whenever God allows you to progress and to advance in whatever career or business you have. You better be careful about saying to yourself, galing ko, kahit napabulong. Amen? Praise God, pero galing ko. That is a true tendency among us if we're not careful, isn't it? The phrase, I have been anointed with fresh oil, most likely referred to the oil of joy that God poured on him by giving him victory over all his enemies. Now, why do I say this? That it most likely referred to the oil of joy. Because when you look at passages like Psalm 45, verse 7, you just might want to just take this down. There, you will read Psalm 45, verse 7. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. This is somehow mentioned in Psalm 23, a very familiar psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, right? And in verse 5 of verse 23, there we would read, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. So that could be a reference to the oil of joy that God poured on him by giving him victory over all his enemies. And then in verse 11, David testifies that he himself had both seen and heard the defeat of his foes. Look at verse 11. And my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. He now testifies that he himself has seen and heard the defeat of his foes. Brethren, I believe that the point that God here is making for us today is this. It is not enough to just speak of what God can do. It is just as important to speak of what He has done in your life. In your life. I could preach to you principle after principle, doctrine after doctrine, and talk to you about the greatness of the works of God in Scripture. But what brings the truth more down to us? It is when I begin to speak of what God has done for me, in spite of my being a sinner. It is when we hear our brothers and sisters testify on prayer night of how true it is that God is a faithful and loving and merciful and gracious and generous provider. That God is the wise and loving and holy sovereign God. When we hear how these truths have impacted our lives. And that's why it is so important. Our time when we share our testimony in prayer night, those times when you share what God had done, for you to an unbeliever, that is what helps bring the truth about God down, giving it feet. Kumbaga, because now the person listening to you is hearing you testify of the reality of that truth in your life. Amen? That's why doing this, brethren, makes you a personal witness to his works, giving even more credence to what you declare about him. Because now you're not just preaching doctrine, you're now preaching doctrine that is true. That has become true in your life. And if it had become true in my life, this can be true in your life. Do you want to know how it can be true in your life? There. Now you have an opportunity to share Christ and His gospel. Because how can that person argue with what he has seen in your life? Amen? Finally, the fourth attitude is that we might see how appropriate to delight in righteousness. To delight in righteousness. Please open your Bibles to verses 12 to 15. Let's read that. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is right, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. At first glance, verses 12 to 15 seem to be out of place in this psalm. Because the focus now is on righteousness and the righteous man. But in this last stanza, brethren, David extols righteousness. In contrast to the wickedness that he was earlier describing. He extols righteousness by describing how the righteous man, pakitanggal po nung the how the righteous man will flourish in contrast to the destruction of the unrighteous and the wicked in verses 6 to 11 that we had seen earlier, right? So as he now exalts the righteous man, he was really actually exalting righteousness. And how important righteousness is for us. As we enter into the new year, we must enter with delight in righteousness in our hearts. We must enter with the resolve that we will walk in righteousness in spite of what might face us. And this I promise you, my beloved brethren, your faithfulness to God, your faithfulness to walk a holy life will be tried. There will be temptations for you to give up on your faith because things might become difficult for you. In effect, brethren, David was presenting the truth of how God honors, how God blesses righteousness in contrast to how he abhors and judges wickedness. Brethren, when we look at verses that talk about the wicked in the Bible, we better be deliberate in also reminding ourselves of how much God loves righteousness. And thank God that in receiving Christ, he had given us the position of righteousness that had made us acceptable to God so that we are now saved. But that positional righteousness, while we are here on earth, must be translated into practical righteousness. Yes, by position, we are righteous, but now we must therefore live according to that position in heaven. Righteousness must dominate our pursuit in life. And really, Psalm 1 captures this most clearly. You might want to open quickly to Psalm 1. We're not going to look at that really. Where here in the first three verses, we see how blessed the man of righteousness is. In fact, verse 1 starts, how blessed is the man. And then all the way up to verse 3 talks about his righteousness. And then in the last part, second part of Psalm 1, from verses 4 to 6, there it speaks, but not the wicked, but not so the wicked. What a contrast. Makikita po natin. And here, brethren, in verse 12, David uses figurative language. He uses what is called a simile. Simile. What is a simile? When comparison is used and the word like is used. Like, for example, you say to your wife, you are like the diamond in my life. Like. That's a simile. What's the difference between a simile and a metaphor? Remove the word like. You are the diamond in my life. Of course, hindi humukang diamante ang asawa mo, di ba? But it is figurative speech that just brings such a beautiful picture that presses how you want to what you want to describe. And here David uses figurative language to describe the righteous man in comparing him to two trees, the palm tree and the cedar. You see, the stately date palm and cedar were highly valued by people in the Near East. But why did David describe the righteous man, for example, to the palm tree? Because the palm tree is a tree that thrives. It thrives even in dry desert places. It is a tree that is used to harsh environments. And yet it thrives. The palm tree in here, the palm tree that is being talked about here is the date palm. You know, have you tasted dates? Galing kadalasan ito sa mga kapatiran natin na galing sa Middle East, may dalang dates. Di ba? It was also known for its fruit. And therefore, brethren, the palm tree symbolized permanence. On the other hand, the cedar here, really the most well-known cedar in those times, were the cedar trees in Lebanon. The cedar is known for the strength of its wood and its legendary durability. Siguro, ang katumbas po nito sa atin sa Pilipinas, nara siguro, or whatever harder wood we might have here. Nara siguro. Its permanence. And this is what it made it the most sought after building material in ancient Israel. If you would remember, you would see this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, that King Hiram of Tyre donated to King David to build his house cedar wood from Lebanon. And so the cedar symbolized strength. And both the palm and the cedar were appreciated for their beauty, and both trees can survive for many years. In other words, what is the whole point of this description, this comparison? The righteous man both flourishes and endures because God loves and blesses righteousness. Because God loves and blesses righteousness. Notice, he will not endure and flourish because of his righteousness. He endures because God loves and blesses righteousness. Look at Psalm 11, verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. He loves righteousness. But not just righteousness, because when you look at Proverbs 15, verse 9, there you would read, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Now look at the contrast, but, look at the switch, but he loves one who pursues righteousness. And because God loves righteousness and loves one who pursues righteousness, he blesses righteousness. He blesses those who are righteous. And praise God, we have been made righteous in Christ. The righteousness that we have is the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness that he manifested as he lived that perfect life as the perfect man. Because it is something that we could never, ever, ever do. Not in a million centuries. We have the righteousness of Christ. And it is that righteousness that enables us to pursue righteousness. Pag wala sa iyo ang righteousness ni Kristo, religious works ang gagawin mo. Not truly righteous works. Praise God. What a contrast to the impermanence of the wicked, who are pictured as temporary as grass, because the judgment of God is upon them. Now look at verse 13. Read verse 13. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Napakaganda po ng verses 12 to 15, because here there is this continuing theme and imagery of thriving and enduring. And it continues in this verse. And when you read verse 13, here the word planted is so important because it gives us the image of being deeply rooted, as opposed to being too easily driven away by the wind because you are not planted. You are like the leaf that has fallen to the ground and it is not planted in the branch. And so when the wind comes, you are blown away because you are now a dead and brown leaf. Whereas when you look at the green leaves of the tree, they are solidly planted in the branch. And so they are not easily driven away by the wind. And because they are planted, they will flourish. That is the righteous. This time we see again the word flourish in verse 12 and verse 13. This time the word flourish means to be vigorous, to be so alive, to flourish richly. But I would like you also, because this is so important, I would like us to see, to note where the righteous have been planted and thus will flourish. Look at that. It reads, in the house of the Lord, in the courts of our God. In the house of the Lord, in the courts of our God. That is where the righteous is planted. It is near to God. Amen? And it is so important to see this. Why? Okay na po ba kayo? Huh? Take a look at it one more time. This imagery is symbolic of the thriving conditions of those who maintain a close relationship with the Lord. A close relationship with the Lord. He's like a tree planted by the rivers, by the river, whose leaves will thrive and never wither. Wow. Tama ang posisyon, kaya nagtathrive. That is the righteous. That speaks of those who are made righteous in Christ and therefore are pursuing righteousness in our lives. It speaks of the thriving conditions of those who maintain a close relationship with the Lord. And that is one of the most righteous acts we can do by the grace of God. Maintain a close relationship with Him. Taking care of our time with Him. Taking care of our time with His Word. Our time of prayer. Taking care of our commitment to the church. And I'm not talking about being committed to simply coming to Sunday service, but being committed to be part of the family of God. When the church prays, you're there. You want to be there. When the church serves, when the church ministers outside, you want to be there. Because through that, you maintain a close relationship with God as well. Because God moves in His church. And moreover, this picture that you see in verse 13 also pictures the secure place in which the righteous are planted. They are righteous, they are planted in the house of the Lord. Secure kung saan nakatanim ang righteous. And because the source of life and vitality of the righteous is not themselves, but God, then look at verse 14. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Diba? The source of our righteousness is never ourselves. It is always God. And that's why, you know, when you think about this, that's why we must love to pursue righteousness. Why? Because when we do pursue righteousness in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, you are now giving God the opportunity to manifest His righteousness in and through you. You let people who see your righteous life catch a glimpse of your righteous God. They catch a glimpse of Him. Now, let me just say that this verse does not mean that the righteous will forever stay young. Okay? This is not a verse that talks about the fountain of youth sort of thing. No. But what this verse tells us is that like a tree that continues to bear fruit, the righteous stays useful. The righteous stays faithful to God. Even to his old age, he will continue to bear fruit that will glorify God and bless others. That is what it means to continue to flourish, to glorify God and to bless others. The phrase full of sap and very green describes freshness. such that even in our old age, we would continually and freshly testify of the greatness of our God through our lives. And truly, brethren, how refreshing it is to see elderly believers still joyfully serving God and others, still maintaining a testimony of a quiet joy and a grateful heart, still being active in serving the Lord in the church. How refreshing it is. Indeed, to stay fresh and flourishing in old age and not spending your life complaining and demanding, I believe, is a mark of God's special blessing upon the elderly. Di ba? I've seen people who, as they grow older, become more masungit. They become more demanding. I pray that is not happening to those of us now who are seniors. In fact, I pray that because we are planted in Christ, as the older we get, the more mellow we become, the more gracious we become, the more understanding and patient we become. We are like wine that has aged beautifully. Not vinegar. Diba? But wine. Diba sinasabi nga nila, if you buy wine that has been given this present year in its age, don't open it first. Give it a few years to age more. Praise God. Finally, in verse 15, let's read verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Wow. Look at how verse 15 begins. Two. It speaks purpose. It speaks of purpose. You see, the righteous will endure. The righteous will continue to bear fruit. Why? To testify of the Lord's righteousness through His life. With God being the foundation rock upon His life, upon whom His life is built. Because God is His rock, the righteous will continue to testify of the righteousness of God through His life. And brethren, because we are living in ever-darkening times, this must be one of our highest goals, that in this year, the righteousness of God might be seen more and more in my life, in my job, in my business, in my family, in all my relationships, in whatever it is that I do. Because I pray that as the days grow darker, we begin to shine brighter the life of Christ, the righteousness of God. When wickedness pervades and seeks to dominate more and more, may we shine forth the holiness of God to this world. And I believe this is one of those things that we must prepare ourselves for. Ngayon pa lang, sinasabi na natin, hindi tayo sasabay sa mundo. We need to talk to our children about this. Anak, huwag ka sasabay sa social media. Huwag ka sasabay sa uso. Because if you are in Christ, ayaw mong sumabay. Pero kung gusto mong sumabay, anak, baka you are not in Christ. Just because you're attending church, it does not mean that you're a believer. My children, this is very clear to all my children. And every now and then, we remind them, you're a believer, right? Especially when we need to deal with certain issues. You're a believer, right? Or are you? Because you need to show it. You need to live it. Brethren, as we have now entered another new year, fraught with uncertainty, we must do so, readying ourselves, one, to thank and praise the Lord always, always, in whatever circumstances that may face us. We must ready ourselves to remember his works, especially in our own lives, and to declare this to others. And we must make the resolve to pursue righteousness for God's glory. Because right now the world is so caught up in pursuing rebellion against God. Brethren, this is a year in which we must continue to fight for focus on, for faith in, and for faithfulness to Christ and His Word. This is a year in which we must continue to fight for, focus on, for faith in, and for faithfulness to Christ and His Word. The operative word in this statement that I'm making is really fight. It cannot happen without you putting up a fight. If you are passive in this, you will be drawn away. You must fight. Amen po ba? And so with this, I greet you again, a very blessed 2023. Before I close in prayer, again, I believe this is such an important message for us. Please, let's all stand. Let's all look for a partner who we can share what ministered to us the most. Yung po ang ating isi-share. It's about the message. What ministered to you the most? Tumayo po tayong lahat. Please, let's all stand. Don't wait for someone to come to you. Please. Look for someone who you can share this with. It doesn't matter. That person could be someone of the opposite sex. It doesn't matter. Bumalik na po tayo sa ating pong mga lugar. Amen. I'd like to ask all of you to please rise. Before we close in prayer, can we just give glory to our Redeemer, as we ourselves glory in Him. I will glory in my Redeemer.
I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was the sin that drove the bitter nails and hung him on that judgment tree.
I will glory.
I will glory in my Redeemer, who crushed the power of sin and death. My only Savior before the Holy Judge, the Lamb who is my righteousness.
I will glory in my Redeemer.
I will glory in my Redeemer. My life He bought, my love He owns. I have no longings for another. I'm satisfied in Him.
I will glory.
I will glory in my Redeemer, His faithfulness my standing place. Though foes are mighty and rush upon me, my feet are firm held by His grace.
Thank you, Lord.
My feet are firm held by His grace.
My Redeemer.
I will glory in my Redeemer, who carries me on eagle's wings.
He crowns my life.
He crowns my life with loving kindness. His triumph song
I will glory.
I will glory.
Prospect of every true believer in you, that forever it will be your glorious and most beautiful face that we will behold. One day all this wickedness and all that is wrong in the world, you will make right. Wickedness will disappear and righteousness will reign, your righteousness. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that that is what awaits us. So as we enter into this year, Lord, burn this message in our hearts. Bring it to our remembrance, O sweet Spirit of God. And may we live it out so that we might shine forth in this dark world and in these dark times. For those who are your elect to see that they might come to saving faith soon enough as well. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we give of our blessings that you have poured upon us, I pray, Lord, that we would give to your work with much joy and gladness out of love for you and your church. We would give in faith. And we would give, Lord God, out of obedience to you, trusting that you are our provider anyway. Please do guide us in our giving, O God. And as we go forth from this place, Lord, I continue to entrust this church, Guiding Light Christian Church, here in Baguio and throughout our outreaches. I continue to entrust to you each and every family represented here today, even those who are listening through the live streaming. And trust them in your most loving and powerful hands. Thank you, Lord. Help us go forth from this place, rejoicing in our salvation in Christ always, seeking your glory in everything that we are and in everything that we do. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless po ulit. Happy New Year po muli sa inyo.